This morning is the beginning message of a series that we will look at likely continuing through the end of February. It's just a series that we're going to be looking at the second coming of Jesus. I'm not going to be preaching all of these messages. Next week, I believe Paul is going to be preaching a message, but they're going to be following on the same type of theme. This is on this second coming, different aspects of it. Thank you, Willie. Talk about knowing my mind. That was good. And so this morning, I just want to introduce this a little bit, how we're thinking it, how we're going to be approaching it. The theme verse for this series is going to be Revelation 22:20, the next to last verse of the Bible, where it says simply, "He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Such a simple statement. You save the most important statement for last, right? It's what you want to leave. And yes, I am coming soon. Jesus is saying, I'm coming back. We live in a culture, in a Christian culture, that has taken the study of eschatology, or which is simply the study of end time events, and it's become a huge, huge study. It's become a huge topic of debate. Seminars are held, TV shows are made, video series are made, books are written, all about this end times and Revelation and what's going to happen. I'm not saying this is bad. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just a reality. But this is not at all what we're trying to accomplish in this series. We're not trying to break apart and understand exactly what's going to happen when. We're not going to try and go there. But we want to look at the title of the message this morning is Eyes Wide Open. Eyes Wide Open. And one of I talk about the pendulum swinging different times, and one of the pendulum swings that happens in the church is because there's so much debate and controversy and conflict over end times, and it divides people. And this topic of this study, the churches many times shy away from even going there. And we don't talk about it enough that Jesus is coming back. So we want to talk about it. We want to talk about what's going on. What are we looking forward to? Different aspects of it. It's the study of eschatology and the end times. It's a fun study. I took a course at Roseville Bible College when I was there, and I loved it. And I'm not saying some of you enjoy that. My father's one of them. Go for it. I'm not saying don't look into this. Not at all. But I'm saying don't miss the core fact. Don't allow the details that we can't understand to miss the simple truth. Jesus is coming back. When, how, what order, etc., etc. Does it really matter? Jesus is coming back. I was a teenager when Hal Lindsey. Now, I'm going to give you an example of the abuse and what's happening, what has happened with this study. I was a teenager when Hal Lindsey took the end time discussion by storm. He became one of the leading writers on the topic. So it had been in the 80s. His book, The Late Great Planet Earth, it was heralded as one of the latest understanding of end time events. In fact, there was one Sunday afternoon, I was at Ken and Ann's house with their son David, and my dad called and said, hey, we're going to go to Pennsylvania to watch a movie on by Hal Lindsey. You want to go along? And mom and dad wanted me to go along. And I remember they picked me up at your place. Don't ask me why I remember that, Ken and Ann, but I do. Today, if you look online, you will see many of the predictions and the statements that Hal Lindsey made prove not to be true. Modern day events that he held as signs of the end times, they never panned out. I could give you a list, I won't. Today also, if you look into the life of Hal Lindsey, you see a man who has fallen. I got to be careful. A man who has supposedly, as a leader in the church, who has been divorced 3 times, he's now married to his 4th wife. Today he is still on TBN with his report on current events, still being heralded as someone who we can trust. I say that gently, not wanting to be critical of one man. But I feel it is so necessary to point out, church, that it is so easy to get caught up in the sensationalism of the end time topic that we allow that to make us miss the core truth of Jesus is coming back and the simplicity of it. So I do say this. As you study, and if you, this is one of the topics you love to get into, as you get into it, be careful that you don't allow it and the unknown and the questions that we can't quite, that we don't know for certain, that we don't allow that to override our faith in the simple truth of the gospel and the simple truth of Jesus. Salvation, our core belief is that salvation comes through our faith in the work that Jesus did on the cross. As Christians, we live by that faith. And in the same, it's that same faith that we look forward to the time when Jesus is coming back. It is a step of faith. The Bible has not laid it out so that we can totally understand. It's not for us to know the time of when Jesus is coming back. What we are to know is that we live every day with faith and we continue following Jesus as if He's going to come back tomorrow. So as we begin this series, for myself and for those who, others who will be preaching topics on this series, I want us to focus on what do we know the Bible says? And there's a lot of things that we don't know. And that's okay, because we live by faith. In studying the Bible, head knowledge is important. Learning the Bible, learning what the Bible says. And that's why I'm so grateful for my knowledge of what, you know, end time events. And it's not great, by the way. I'm not an end time scholar. Never have been. But I have somewhat of a grasp. And I'm grateful for that. But the important thing is, when you study the Word of God, does it change your heart? Does it make a difference in how you live? What is so painful as we look at the life of Hal Lindsey? How? Something just seems to be misdirected there. I'm not sure. Jesus said he's coming back. And let's look at it. You know, Jesus left heaven and he came to earth as a baby. We call that the incarnation. God became man. And he lived on this earth. Then he went to the cross. He died and he went back to heaven. Okay. And he told his disciples, he said this in John 14, 2 to 3. And hang on to your seats because we got a lot of scripture verses here. It says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am." The heart of Jesus is that his people, his followers, those who have faith in him are with him for eternity. That's the heart of Jesus. That's what he wants. Is that good news? Does that make you like that? Give the Lord a hand on that one. There you go. There you go. He's coming back. In John 14, a little later on, you know, he's giving this whole instruction to the disciples, explaining to them that he wasn't going to reveal himself and set up his kingdom on this earth, but that he was going to leave and he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And Judas, you know, he was questioning this. Why aren't you going to do this on this earth? And Jesus proceeds to tell him how that the Holy Spirit will come and dwell inside those who believe. And then Jesus continues with these words in 14, 28 to 29. "You have already heard me say that I am going and that I will also come back to you." He said, if you really love me, you wouldn't want me to stay here on this earth. You'd want me to leave. He said, you should be glad that I'm going to the Father because he is greater than I am. And I'm telling you this before I leave so that when it does happen, you will have faith in me. And so there's this thought process that as a follower of Jesus, being the kingdom of heaven here on this earth is not the focus. But the kingdom of heaven that we are a part of is in heaven. We're with Jesus, not this earth. But he's saying, while you are here, you have faith in me. You continue to live life with a strong faith in who Jesus is and what he did for you. And so we keep living by faith. And this picture then later on of at the end of Jesus' time here on this earth, you know, he was standing with the disciples on top of the mountain. And the disciples asked Jesus, you know, this was after he had died, after he rose again. And the disciples again asked Jesus, "When are you going to restore your kingdom?" In other words, Jesus, we've waited long enough. We've watched you go to the cross. We've seen the power of the resurrection. Are you now going to restore your kingdom? And Jesus said this, Acts 1. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power." He comes right back to it. Comes right back to it. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." You see what's saying? He's saying, listen, it's not such a big deal that I'm going to heaven and you're staying here. You know, don't worry about my kingdom being established here on this earth, because I'm going to go and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit down. It's better that I leave, Jesus said at one point. And it says, as he said that, he was, verse 9, it says, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. And two men dressed in white appeared before them. And they told the man of Galilee, now you got to get the picture. Jesus, they're there on top of the mountain. And, you know, the disciples are saying, Jesus is now the time when you're going to set up your kingdom. And Jesus says, you still don't get it. I'm going to leave and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when that Spirit comes upon you, you are to be my witnesses. I'm leaving, but you're staying here, but I'm going to send my Spirit and it's going to fill you. And you're going to have a power to live life in faith, believing in me. And so they're standing there and they're comprehending and whew, there goes Jesus. I would love to know the expression. Well, I wish the Bible had pictures. Wouldn't it be great to see the expression on their faces? Be like, what happened? Where's Jesus? He's gone. And as they were standing there with their eyes looking up into heaven, two men appeared. And they said this, men of Galilee. In other words, you ordinary dudes. Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up in the sky? Why wouldn't you be looking up into the sky? Why do you stand there looking up into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, he will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. In other words, they said this. He said, get that silly expression off your face. Go live your life believing in Jesus because he said he's coming back. Jesus said he was coming back. Paul, in writing to the Thessalonian church, the church was worried as they talked about the resurrection. They said they were worried about those who had died. And he said, you know, if Jesus is coming back, what about all those who had died? And Paul, thank you, Juan, that's exactly what Paul said. Don't worry about it. He says, Jesus got that covered too. And he says in verse 4, verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians, he said, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive, are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Are you with me? Can I have a witness on that one? There we go. The Lord will be with the Lord forever. Now let me tell you leave that verse up there a little bit. That's what happens so often with the study of eschatology. We take that and they use this verse and they break it apart and they say, well, okay, so this is the timing. The dead are going to come, and how many seconds later will we go? Will we see the dead or won't we see the dead? You know, what's going to happen here? And they break all this down and they get into all the nitty-gritty detail of how it's going to happen. And they miss the message that it is going to happen. It's a simple faith. The book of Revelation focuses on his return. John, in writing at the beginning of his record in Revelation, he starts with the truth that Jesus is coming back. Verse 3 says, Revelation 1, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart. You understand? He's saying the same thing. I don't know why you come to church. I don't know what brings you here. But coming to church is about having your heart changed. It's about taking the truth of God's word and letting it change your heart, for your life is lived out of your heart. And he says it this way. He says, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it. Why? Because the time is near. And then he continues quoting from the prophecy of Daniel, where he says, look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. Those are the words of Daniel the prophet. And I just want you to know this morning, this is the word of God, and we can believe it. We can trust it. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega. What's that mean? Does anybody know? Beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus said it. He's coming back. He's in heaven now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's waiting the time. He's not going to stay there. He's going to come back. And he's going to take his church, those who have placed their faith in him and are filled with his Spirit, back to heaven to be with him for eternity. The title of the message is Eyes Wide Open. Eyes Wide Open. Growing up as a boy, we're going to go a little over time. Just going to warn you. Growing up as a boy, my father loved to read about prophecy. He still has an interest in it to this day. And I remember my older brother, 13 years older. I must have been pretty young because he was still coming around the house, or still around the house quite a bit. But I remember him making a statement to my dad. Something about, well, Dad, your father thought he was going to come back in his generation, in his lifetime. Now you're saying you think Jesus is going to come back in your lifetime. You know, why should I believe that Jesus is going to come back in my lifetime? You ever seen somebody when the color starts right here and rises up their neck? Have you ever seen somebody that has a bald head have the color rise up their neck and turn their whole head red? It's one of the times that I saw my dad come unglued. And I don't remember the exact words, but it was something like this. He said, and my brother's name is Joe as well. He said, Joe, you can't think like that. It is easy in our culture, it is easy in our world and in our society to think like that. Well, he hasn't come back yet. What makes you think he's going to come back down the road? And I go to, you know, you can go through the Old Testament, and if you're in Sunday school, we've been teaching about this. That God always does what he says he's going to do. The promises of God always come true. The prophecies about what God is going to do, they come true. The timing may seem odd to us. The timing may not make sense, but God always comes through. And it is one of the tricks and the schemes of the enemy to get us to think that because it hasn't happened yet, you can't trust what Jesus said. Jesus repeatedly mentioned that we are to live life looking forward to when Jesus comes back. Live life, continue to live. The apostles taught that. Live life, but live it with your eyes wide open, looking for the time when Jesus is going to come back. You know, Jesus, the simple thing, you know, when Jesus taught, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's a simple pervading truth that we don't live life just for what we can accomplish here, but we live it with the expectation of being in heaven and living with Jesus. It far surpasses anything you can accumulate here on this earth. Luke 17. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. 26 to 30, it's several verses that Jesus spoke to his disciples about the coming of the kingdom of God. And he said it this way. He said, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also, verse 26, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from all heaven, from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus is saying this, don't get caught living life as if he's not returning. In the days of Noah, Noah was a preacher. He preached repentance. And the people didn't listen. They simply said, life is good. It's really good. We've got plenty to eat. Our love life is great. We can do what we want. We got it together. Live life, be happy. Don't worry about all that preaching stuff. A flood? You got to be kidding me. Rain? Never heard of it. The focus was on earthly things, the things we do, not on things of heaven. Does that mean we don't live life or enjoy life here while we're here? No. No, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. But our joy and our life is not made up of the things of this earth. Our joy, our life is made up in the fact that we are citizens of heaven. And that no matter how, what goes on here, we have a promise that Jesus is coming back. Eyes wide open, wide open. Jesus warned us about this love for the things of the earth. And he said, verse 31 of Luke 17, he said this, he said, on that day, no one who is on the housetops with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. In other words, when Jesus comes back, don't worry about what's in your house. If you're out working in the field and Jesus comes back, you're not going to run back to your house and say, oh, got to get this, got to take it with me. No, don't worry about that. And if you want a guideline for how to view possessions, there you have it. Hold them in an open hand. And then he says this, the story of Lot. He mentioned the story of Lot there, Sodom and Gomorrah, the wickedness of that city. You remember what was said about Lot's wife? The instruction was when the angels came in and took Lot and his wife and family out of Sodom, he said, don't look back. We talked about this in Sunday school. That command of don't look back was don't, what you have in Sodom is not worth anything compared to what you have ahead of you with Jesus, with God, what God has in store for you. And he says, verse 32, it's the second shortest verse in the Bible, I believe. Remember Lot's wife. He says, listen, if you are worried about Jesus returning because of what's going to happen to your things on this earth, remember Lot's wife. And I will, it's not important because as a follower of Jesus, our kingdom is in heaven. We have much more, much greater things than what this earth can offer. Real quickly, when's He coming? What's the timing of His coming? Throw up the PowerPoint there, that tribulation timeline. I pulled this offline, and I will tell you, if you want something hilarious, here's the three models of people that have put together when Jesus is coming back. Is it going to be before the tribulation period? Is it going to be in the middle of the tribulation? Is it going to be after the tribulation and after the millennium? All these things, there's all kinds of theories. And it's amazing. You read online and there's guys that are emphatic. And they are using very strong words against people who believe else otherwise. And it is something that has simply divided the church unnecessarily. It's not necessary. Now, you may have your opinion and you may say, I'm in this camp. That's okay. And if there's, but I pray that we can have one person in this section, one in this section, and one in this section that believes differently about this. And we still come back and say, you're my brother. I don't let this divide me. This isn't worth dividing over. We all believe that Jesus is coming back, and we're going to live like that. The greater question is, how do I keep the faith? Jesus said in Luke 34 and 35, continue on, He says this, I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. I almost weep. As I think of what that time will be like. Two people. Husband and wife who love each other. Who have made a life for themselves. Who have lived life. Maybe kids, I don't know. One taken, the other left. Heart-wrenching. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, the other left. You'll be at work, working alongside of someone. If you're someone who has committed their life to following Jesus, who trusts in Jesus, you will be taken and there will be people left. The timing is it will be sudden and unexpected. This is what the Word says. There's no debate. It will be sudden and unexpected. 2 Peter 8-10. Second Peter 3, 8-10. Fairly long section, so I want you to listen here as we go along. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the day, Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. In other words, you think it's a long time before Jesus keeps His promise, or God keeps His promise to send Jesus? Well, we don't understand slowness. In the view of eternity, 1,000 years is nothing. He is patient with you. I want you to see the heart. Patience is one of the characteristics of God. And why is He patient? Right here. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The heart of God, and I can see God, I don't know, I'm going to use my imagination a little bit, but I can see God up there saying, oh, I see my church, the people that I created, they love Jesus. I want them here in heaven with me. I want to go get them. Is now the time to go? And He looks at the church And he says, oh, I would love to have them with me in heaven. But then he looks outside the church. Those who are not wearing a white garment, who are not clothed in righteousness as Romans talks about us. And he sees the sinful people, the wickedness. And he says, no, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait a little longer. I'm going to wait to send my son back down to this earth to claim his church because I want people to repent. I don't want these people to perish. I want them to come with Jesus. I'm going to wait. The old gospel song that says, wait a little longer, sweet Jesus. How the words go, Paul? You remember that? Someone help me. Wait a little longer, Jesus. There's someone still wandering out in sin. Wait a little longer, sweet Jesus. Jesus' delay is giving more people a chance to repent and not face eternal punishment. Peter continues writing. He says, well, verse 10, he says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be... I want to know how scientists are going to describe this one. Global warming, I'm sure, will be the culprit. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, Peter asks the question that we all need to be asking ourselves. What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, looking forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping, there it is, in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Stand with me, worship team, come on up. The home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, you are looking forward to this. Stand up. We're looking forward to this. He says, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless. Are you with me, church? We live eyes wide open. Jesus is coming back. How do we live life? How do we live life in a way that honors and glorifies God? Because he's coming back. The temptation is to go about living life saying, Jesus hasn't come back yet. I got plenty of time. Church, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. Open your eyes, church. How are you living? What are you doing? Don't get caught saying, well, we got time. We keep watch. We keep ready. We tell others. We warn them. This morning we're going to end with the song, Hosanna. I'm not going to end without saying this. If this morning you don't know 100% that when Jesus comes back, that you're going to be leaving and you're going to be flying through the air. If you don't know that, the Word of God so clearly says that if you confess your sins and you come before me humbly and say, I'm a sinner, I would not be accepted by God if he called today. If you have that hard attitude, Jesus said, if you place your faith and believe in my son Jesus, who died on the cross for your sin, I will clothe you in righteousness. I will view you as a righteous, godly person, and I will accept you into my kingdom. It's that simple. So this morning, if you are not 100% sure, young people, old people, middle age, or really old people, if you are not sure, I invite you to come. We'd love to pray with you and just help you understand the promise that God has made that through our faith in Jesus, we will rise through the air and be with Him when He comes back. That's an open invitation to anyone. Don't allow your own timidness or your own fear of what other people are going to think to keep you from responding to the heart of what God is speaking to your heart this morning. The second thing is this. If you found yourself with your eyes closed, you're a follower of Jesus, but you've lost sight, and your way of life has not been as looking forward to His return, come and talk to Jesus. Cry out for the power of His Spirit anew in your life. We're going to sing a song of worship, but this altar is open throughout the entire song. Come and talk to Jesus if your heart is being pulled, if you feel His Spirit speaking to you, if you want to make things right. Father, take the words of Scripture and drive them deep into our minds, and may they flow from our minds to our heart and change us. Lord, help us to live with eyes wide open. And I pray in the last moments here of the closing song that Your Spirit would move among us and call us, Lord. Call us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, to live for You, to surrender our lives to You, to be a people that when You do come back, that we rise to meet You in the air. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.